What is up, our friend from the internet? Once again, it's the Tacky Games Podcast, here with your host, Tony, and my peeing is better than sex friend, Leo.
Wow. That is not That's a moniker I really like very much, but...
You said it last week.
I didn't. That's not true. Yeah. Uh-huh. But also, I am... More importantly...
And I asked you how good it was, and you said... And so now I wonder, how good is your sex life? You know, because...
Well, I'm happy to be here. On a more positive note.
I'm happy to have you here, Leo. Right? It's so much fun.
It is. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. There wasn't a huge amount of news, but, you know, we're going to get into some interesting topics this week, I think.
Yeah, I had some real curveballs in my gaming life this week. So I got some stuff to talk about. But before I get started on my gaming life, Leo, tell me a little bit about your week in gaming.
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of games this week, which is sort of...
Great.
No, okay, well, hold on. I played some games. It was sort of unusual, though. It's like a... normally I play a lot of games, and this week I just kind of didn't. But I did get into some Final Fantasy. I'm really trying to push to level 80. I think I'm level 79 now, so...
Nice.
By the next time we speak, I will almost certainly have pushed my paladin across the finish line.
I have that... Cross world visiting soon, so you know we can get grouped up here. Real
finally,
quick.
Do that near raid.
Yeah,
that
me
I've been
and
hearing
you.
So much about. Yeah, just you and me. We'll solo it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We can do it. I'm sure.
I know we've talked at great length about this, but I just want to briefly mention again that God, the music in that game is so awesome. Like it's so experimental, and like every zone you go in is totally different. And I'm not even like a huge music guy. Like I don't listen to a lot of music normally. So I'm not like a I'm kind of picky when it comes to music, I guess, but almost every single track in that game, as disparate and sort of bizarrely different as they all are, they're all just so good.
Yeah, it's also good, but Shadowbringers really like steps it up, right? The production of Shadowbringers is like incredible.
Yeah,
and especially the music. That game, I don't know how they continue to make such like diverse but like affecting. Quality music for all these different fights and stuff, because there's just so much of it now.
Yeah, and it's that same thing of like it is very diverse. Like they're not sticking to a theme at all. It's all over the place. There's every genre, every different kind of like composition, structure, soundscape, like everything. It's all totally different, and almost without exception I'm like, this is really cool to me personally. And also, just like you said, the production value is just through the roof in a way that's really remarkable.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, I usually turn music off in games. I know this is, like, kind of sacrilegious,
There's people who do that. I can't imagine doing that, but some people do. Monsters do that.
Even in my initial, like, Final Fantasy XIV play, I turned the music off because I'd just be doing, like, main story quest, and the stupid, like, Chocobo music would always come on, and I'd just be like, oh, fucking come on.
That I did turn off immediately.
Give me a break. But, and so I just turned it off because... MMOs in general too, it's like they're great games for like podcasts and stuff, right? Or like having a YouTube video in the other window.
By design.
And so I'd always have the music off, and then I can't remember what fight it was, but someone's like, did you hear the music in this fight? And I was just like, what are you talking about, right? And then and from that point on I had to turn it back on, and it's incredible. Like it's so good. The themes are always so unique, but so perfectly themed to whatever the fight is. And even when they're like campy, they're still fucking amazing, right?
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, even if it's something you don't like in the traditional sense, like you wouldn't put it on and like walk down the street listening to it or whatever, it's always of high quality. Even when it's being, like you said, very campy or strange, it's always just like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, they clearly put so much work into the music.
Yeah, they vibe so well with whatever you are, like whatever dungeon you're in or raid you're running. Like the way the music vibes to what you're doing is it's great. It's perfect.
And I think a lot of MMOs have great music. Like WoW's music really is beautiful and amazing, but it's all very predictable. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but like it's very like, you know, it's high fantasy music and very, very good, awesome, beautiful high fantasy music. Which is great. There's a place for that. But there's something about Final Fantasy XIV where when you walk into a new zone, there is no telling what genre the music's going to be, what it's going to sound like, but they're almost certainly it will be very good, which is pretty, like you said, it's a very high bar to set, and they keep surpassing it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, It's funny you bring up WoW, because I've been watching a lot of WoW content because the Burning Crusade Classic just came out, or is coming out in a week, I guess, and people are getting like early access or something to it. I've seen people playing it on YouTube, right? And so I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But man, when you look at like World of Warcraft against like Final Fantasy 14, like this isn't like a here or there fight, but if you could find some way to merge those, the best things of both those games, like you would really have an incredible game, because WoW does so many things right, but like the style just, I wouldn't say misses. The style is fine for WoW, but the style for Final Fantasy 14 is just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, from the music to the clothes, to the glamours, to the dungeons, to like the massive boss fights.
Yep.
And you just look at like when WoW tries to do those things, it's just such a pale comparison.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the systems in WoW tend to function a little better. They're broken in their own right, but a little more like clearly.
Yeah.
But man, the style of Final 14. I love that. I played a lot this week, obviously, too. So,
yeah. Another speaking of style, another thing I noticed I want to touch on real quick was like that whoever designs the clothes in that game needs a raise. I know it's more than one person, but I was just thinking about how, like, no matter how stupid you try and make your character look, I'm not one of those people who likes to make a super goofy character. Like, I was looking at just everyone in Uldah at one point. I was kind of just looking around at people, which is very fun, just people watch and, like, see what everyone's, like, weird glamours are. And everyone looked awesome. From the weird little potato person who was dressed like a, you know, tried to make themselves look stupid. I was like, dude, that outfit is awesome. Like, without exception, no matter how you dress your character, they always look awesome in some way. And that's such a bizarre achievement, but it's really remarkable.
What's amazing to me is I always see people, like, with looks I've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've played that game for so much time. Granted, I'm not, like, I don't have the deepest knowledge of Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, because right? Me neither, obviously.
It's so deep, and I'm not the guy that spends, like, every night playing it, you know?
We're still pretty casual, even though we've put in hundreds or thousands of hours.
Yeah. But even then, like, I've seen a lot of the glamours. I'm really into the glamour. Like, I go to the glamour sites and stuff, and sometimes, like, hunt for glamours. And yeah, I just constantly see things where it's like, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
But something between the color combination and the different mix of glamour pieces you're wearing, like, that's a look I could not imagine. And it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks awesome. And I'm just constantly shocked. It's so great.
It's really remarkable. I don't know. Yeah. It's just something I can't imagine how the logistics of that work, but it's really a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, because a lot of it is like low level armor and stuff, right? Like,
I was thinking about that. Random... Like, I realized I've been wearing the same. I think the shoes that I wear the most. We're getting a little deep in here, but the shoes that I have in almost every glamour plate or whatever outfit, I'm pretty sure they're the shoes that come like are the default shoes for my character class. And I've been using them for 80 level. Like, they're so dope and so sick. And I noticed that a lot of the components of my favorite glamours are extremely low level armor, and that just speaks to like. How much work went into the design of that, in that, like, the coolest looking pieces, there's so many cool looking pieces, but some of them are default. Like, that says a lot.
Yeah, and it depends on the style, right? Do you want, like, an extravagant, like, spiky, armory, glamour look? Well, a lot of that stuff's going to be a little bit later, right?
Yeah,
but if you want, like
glowing weapons, all that stuff.
Yeah, but if you want, like, more, like, stylish kind of urban looking clothes or just like kind of streetwear kind of clothes, like a lot of that's earlier level, right? Because a lot of that stuff is just like, you know, like cloth or more like work clothes and stuff, right? Like I wear a raincoat all the time, like a dyed raincoat. Like, that's the glamour I wear constantly, and it's just, you can just buy it. It's not like
that's what I'm saying. It's so crazy. Yeah. Like, even when you first start the game, you look really cool.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. But anyway, we could go on about that. The other game I did play some of and wanted to touch on briefly was Doom. You ever heard of Doom?
I mean, I think I've seen it before.
Yeah, I was hopping back to the original Doom.
OG Doom.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Kane and Rince, or, you know, one of those great podcasts that kind of really focus on retro games. And I was like, damn, Doom is awesome. And I installed it, which was very easy. I had it on... I think Doom's one of those games where you probably do own it, even if you don't know it, it's somewhere. It's in one of your collections buried, whether it's in like a special edition or something, but you have OG Doom somewhere. And I installed it on from Good Old Games and hopped in, and it's really a remarkable game. It's fucking awesome. It really is. And like, I know it's old and it was such a, you know, genre starter, and people talk about it. It's always looked at through the lens of like history of gaming and sort of analysis. But as just a game, if you strip everything away and you just try and go in as objectively as you can, it's really cool. It's a fascinating game. Like, the sound design is very interesting. And I actually installed a mod so that I could listen to the PlayStation 1 music, which isn't really music. It's like ambient noise while playing the PC port. And that was also a really totally different experience and a really remarkable one. And it made me realize how like ports just aren't a thing. But Doom was such a great example of, it was ported across so many consoles, right? It was obviously on PC, and then it was ported to everything, literally everything from the Game Boy Advance to the Jaguar. And every single port was totally different in a lot of ways. Some were certainly better than others. Like, for example, the PlayStation port had totally different music, just a completely different soundtrack for some reason. And I was just thinking about how it's kind of a fun way to experience the game through all these different lenses, through different hardware, but that's just not really a thing that happens. Like, people talk about the PS5 port of Assassin's Creed, you know, has a slightly higher frame rate or whatever, but it's nothing like it was back in the day, where it was like, these ports are almost entirely different games.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I think, like, the growing up, like, when we, I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, right? Yeah. But, like, kind of growing up in that time where, like, one game really did define, like, the progression of games, especially, yeah, like, in a genre. And I mean, we're so far from that now, right? But it was so fun, like, going from, like Wolfenstein to Doom, yeah, right? Like, into these, like, Quake, yep, like, Quake 2. I mean, Quake 2, I think, really was, like, the kind of pinnacle of those games, right? Maybe like Unreal. Like,
no, bro, it's all about that Katana.
Okay. No, okay, Katana. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, like, Doom was such like a genre defining game.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun to kind of go through those. And they really were like just so impressive for their limitations. Yeah. Right. Like, Doom especially, I think, finds this way to be like both very basic and simple, but very like fast paced and challenging,
yep,
and, you know, and just do all of these things in a way, with such like such a limited like tool set, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just the pixels, but like even just how you interact with that game, you know?
Yeah. And it's such a triumph of art direction, right? Like, Doom is, I think, a mechanically really cool, well-made game. You know, people have written literal books about how great Doom is, but just hopping in, like, it is so much of that game is, it just sounds amazing. Like, the gunshot sound alone is just incredible, which makes sense because you shoot that shotgun constantly throughout the entire game, so it better sound good. You know, and everything just looks cool, and the pixel art's very fascinating, the whole vibe is very strange, and it just made me think, like, if that aspect of Doom wasn't cool, and still cool, and has aged really well, the game just wouldn't have done as well. But it's also really mechanically pushing boundaries, and like you said, does an awful lot within a pretty limited tool set. But that combination of art design and mechanical competence just makes for a really profoundly influential game, and one that's aged extremely well.
Yeah, how does that game have lighting effects? That's what's like,
yeah,
you know, how does that even work? That, yeah, there's just like,
it's just John Carmack, you know, fucking around in some like weird engine that he built, like, yeah, oh, I guess I'll invent lighting effects now. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the dark. Like, there is like a visual language of that game that is just like,
yeah,
incredible for how limited the palette is, and the, yeah, especially the hardware we were playing it on, right? Like, yeah, like originally, I mean, it runs on competent hardware now, it runs on everything,
but, yeah,
back in the day, you were just installing it on, you know, like your dad's,
yep,
Compaq, you know, that like, yeah, did not computer have any graphic acceleration, and, yeah, you know, you had like fucking 25 floppies with, yep, that game on it. And
well, and even, yeah, the distribution was so experimental, right? Like, the whole freeware thing of like, yeah, you can just play the first 8 levels or whatever, and then if you want to play more, you have to pay us. Like, it was that distribution model is completely even impossible even to describe to someone who's very, very young and can't imagine ordering things through the mail, but like even that alone was so experimental. It really was a pivotal kind of look into the future in many ways. And I think it's aged really well. It really has. Like, I bet someone who doesn't give a shit about video game history or any of the things we talk about here, if I put it, you know, gave them an Xbox 360 port of the original Doom, you know, it looks old and it looks weird, but I bet you that person would be like, hey, this is just fun. It's just really fun and like engaging and simple, but also like any good game, it's easy to understand but difficult to master.
I just get to the point.
Yeah, that's what exactly.
It's just a game. You just go. Like,
yeah.
I will say, like, even like I've been playing through Titanfall again, or for the first time. I mentioned it before, but I didn't play it this week. But, you know, as much like as fun as that game is and as cool as the set pieces are, like, there's a lot of that game just not going. You know what I mean? And it's fine. It's got a narrative structure to it.
It's a different expectation, but yeah.
It's a different expectation, but man. Just thinking about Doom in comparison is just like, man, it's so great to just drop it and just fucking go, you know? Even the newer Dooms try and do that, but they are not willing to commit, you know, in the way that, like, a game like original Doom was just like...
Yeah, it's very pure.
There's no preamble.
Yeah, like, literally none. You're just like...
Here's a gun.
Choose your difficulty. Okay, you're playing now. And it's like, oh, what do I do? Well, you shoot the monsters.
Yeah, point whatever direction you want and go. And
kill everything you see.
Yeah, so great. Yeah.
It's been fun revisiting that, though. And if you haven't played Doom somehow, the original Doom, it runs on literally everything. Any device you have that allows you to listen to this, there's a port of Doom available, so check it out. But anyway, it's what I kind of dove into, but I'd love to hear what you played this week.
So no Resident Evil, you're over it.
Yeah, I think that's why I stopped playing video games for a week. That's how much that game pissed me off, like... Really made me upset. And I was watching speedruns. I was watching speedruns of it, and I was like, you know what? I love Resident Evil. Gotta give it another chance. And I was watching my favorite speedrunner run it, and I just, to be fair, I happened to tune into the last half, which I hate. And I was like, yeah, fuck this game. Like, it's so lame. The last half of that game is so, so unsatisfying. It's really frustrating.
People love that game, Leo.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess everyone's just wrong. You know,
I mean, that's what I've been saying for years.
It must be everyone else who's the problem. It's definitely not me.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. All right? I've been saying that this whole time. And, you know, you don't always agree, but now you know. Now you get it. Now you see what I see.
I do think now that I have a little more time, I probably will try and hop back in just to. And again, because the first half is so fun, I'd like to replay the first half. Maybe I'll just do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like you to play it more, because I would like to vicariously get like a real feel for it, not this whatever impression.
I love how you're like, I want you to play it instead of you just playing it. No, it's not scary, it's scary at all, dude. It's not.
Games are too scary. Games are just too scary for me. Returnal is not scary at all. Like, it's spooky. Dude,
a lot of
in
people
the game.
Say it is scary.
Like, so it has these like faux like horror sections, right, where you go in this house.
Yeah.
And I know they're not, like, I've seen most of them, like, in other people's playthroughs and stuff. And, like, I've done enough of my own to know, like, there might be, like, a noise or something to scare you. But there's no, like, real spooky jump scares, right?
Yeah.
And even knowing that, I still get so anxious in them that I'm just like, I hate this. And I should just never go in the house. I don't think I have to. But I still do, because I want, like, the items. You know, like, I still suffer for... Because I'm a real fucking gamer.
Yeah, because you're a real gamer, and that's the cool thing about you.
Yeah, I'm a real... You know, I beat GTA 5 last week. I don't know if you guys heard.
If there was any question about it.
I'm a real fucking gamer. my week has been interesting.
Excellent.
So, I upgraded my PC this week.
Oh.
I had enough with my old PC, so I had a 7600K.
Yeah.
Fine processor, great clock speed, but it's 4 cores and 4 threads.
Yeah.
And I felt it in a lot of...
It's just aging, you know? It's just how it happens.
I felt it in a lot of games, right? And I was just nursing along. I really did not care. I had no plans to upgrade my PC.
Yeah.
But I've been seeing like a lot of talk about this like new i5, like the non-K 11400. Everyone's
Just,
like, this is,
just the value of it is like pretty hard to deny.
Yeah, great cheap processor, better than the Ryzen's as far as value, non-K, so you can buy like the cheap motherboard. And I was like, okay, I mean, for a $175 processor and $100 motherboard, like, I can have a pretty substantial at least upgrade. So
yeah,
you know, so stuff will just run better.
Yeah.
So I bought that, and then I was like, I should buy memory, right? Faster memory, right?
Of course.
So I bought faster memory, and then I was like, you know, maybe I should get a new. This case is kind of old.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's kind of old. It's this dusty.
This is how it always happens. Yeah.
I haven't cleaned the case very often. It's, you know, I could probably use a new case.
Yeah, and that's right? Cheap too, right? It's only, you know, sub $100.
Yeah, $60. Like, no big deal. I bought a little, and it's a micro ATX board, and I was like, maybe I'll do a cute little micro ATX board.
Yeah, a little SFF action.
Yeah, I'm not making a lot of heat with this processor, you know, so it's like.
Yeah, you can't overclock it, so, you know.
Yeah, why not, right? So I'd buy a case. And then I'm like, it's, you know, it supports the new NVMe standard.
That's what I was about to say. So then you have to upgrade your storage, right?
So I had to buy a hard drive. That's coming today. I bought it from Newegg. So
You bought a hard drive?
Well, I bought an NVMe drive. It's a storage device.
I don't know
what the fucking word is these days.
I think you know.
So then I buy that. I bought it. Yeah, it pisses me off.
I assume it's M2 and you can just plug it right in there and take M2, advantage of that new standard.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't even know.
PCIe 4.0.
Yeah, I don't even know what any of that stuff anymore. Yeah. I was just some kid on Discord was like, "Oh, you should get this one." And I was like, "All right."
You're like, you seem like a valid source, sir.
Yeah.
I've known you for 40 seconds.
No, it's funny. I'm in this Discord with it's like our former Newegg Plays Discord.
Oh, cool. Nice.
This is three stories deep, but initially I made the Discord for Newegg.
Yeah.
And then they made it their own Discord that was the real Newegg Discord. But now I have this leftover Newegg Discord that we kicked everybody off of. But so I trust those nerds.
Oh, basically. For sure.
So I was like, hey, nerds. And this is what they told me to buy.
Yeah. I'm sure.
So I bought it. I bought that. And yeah, I was pretty pumped up, right?
Yeah.
So then everything's supposed to come on Tuesday. Everything comes from Amazon, right? So I got the case. Nice. I got the memory. I got some new SATA cables. What else did I get? I don't know.
What do you need SATA cables for?
For hard drives. I put lots of hard drives in this motherfucker.
Okay, right? Interesting. Yeah, so, you're kicking it old school. I like that.
Yeah, I got like 10 terabytes of storage in this thing.
In this tiny little case? That's awesome.
In this tiny little case. It's beautiful. And so I get everything put together. I'm like, I'm just waiting for the processor, right?
Yeah. Isn't that always the way?
I bought the processor from Best Buy.
Okay.
They shipped with OnTrack.
Mm.
OnTrack is like, well, we couldn't deliver it, right? And I'm like, why? And it's like, because it's an apartment. Like, they just couldn't figure out to like hit the intercom and be like, hey, we're here. Like, I work from home. I'm always home.
Dude, like, a lot of people live in apartments. It's not like you live at some strange farm out in the mountains. Like, it's an apartment in Los Angeles. This is not a revolutionary problem they need to solve.
They should know how to deliver to a fucking apartment. Yeah, I would think so. Like,
in a big city.
I was so irate, right? It's just because, like, I got this thing ready to go, and they're just like, nah, it's an apartment. We couldn't get in. And it's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. It took them 2 days to deliver the processor.
Jesus.
I know. So I finally get that in. I ordered the NVMe from Newegg. I was like, it'll be here in a couple days. 6 days. It's supposed to come today, finally. I ordered it last weekend. Mm. Fucking Newegg.
Now that they're NASDAQ listed, they're fucking slipping.
What is funny is I bought the cheapest 120 millimeter AIO I could find, because it was like $30 on Amazon. It's a real piece of shit.
Yeah,
I bet. But I bought it for fun. And it's doing okay. I'll be honest. I have an air cooler that's completely good that I can use. So I think
the nice thing about fans is they don't really ever stop working. Very simple mechanism.
So I figured it'd be a fun little experiment. Playing with that. But I got everything hooked up. I finally got my drive in. I finally got my processor in. Waiting for the drive, but everything's running off an SSD right now. And it's good. I mean, of course I suck at it. I mean, this was a whole. And computers are a whole to-do.
Yeah.
You know?
That's part of the fun. I mean, it really is.
I know. One of the hard drives wasn't working, and I was, like, freaking out because it had my work backup on it.
Nice.
I was like, oh, my God. Because I put two hard drives and then, three hard drives and an SSD in it. And I'm like, the one I backuped everything to didn't. It just wasn't loading. And I was, like, so upset.
Yeah, of course.
My God. So I found it in unallocated space. I'm like, oh my God, it got corrupt.
I formatted it. Oh God.
I'm running these like long scans trying to fix it. And then the next day I finally like the scan finishes and it's like, it's not there. And I'm like, oh shit. So I opened the case and I scanned the new hard drive that had nothing on it.
Yeah.
The one I needed was just the power had fallen out. It wasn't plugged.
That's
in.
What I was about to say. It's almost always just one of the cables was slightly loose.
Yeah. So that's what it was. And so finally got everything installed. And the first thing I wanted to try was Warzone, right?
Interesting.
Because Warzone ran like shit on my old
processor. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's kind of what inspired this whole thing.
That was part of what inspired this whole thing. Warzone ran like shit on my old processor.
Yeah.
So
not enough threads.
Seemingly so, because it runs tits on this new processor.
Is that right? Interesting. Like, so it's really like actually using the hyperthreads and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, because I'm running HW monitor like all the time right now just to like, just for fun, just to see.
Yeah.
And Warzone,
that's the kind of people we are.
Yeah, Warzone uses all the threads maxed out. That's cool. Like toaster in the fucking like I don't get any temp like increase for like most games, but when I load Warzone, that thing is like it's going.
That's right? So fascinating. I wouldn't think like Warzone, which is designed to be so accessible, would be you know, so CPU intensive. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the thing is most games probably get GPU capped, and for some reason Warzone ends up like not there. I know there's like this whole thing about like games that end up relying on the GPU and relying on the CPU.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I assume Warzone is probably you know, just cranking that CPU.
But that's just surprising.
I know. Runs good though.
That's so cool.
I'm happy about that.
I think it's a cool thing. Like, good for them. I think that's a smart move. I'm just surprised by something that's designed to be so mainstream would rely on multi-core action instead of GPU. That's very interesting. But hey, man, I'm glad to hear. So the upgrade was worth it.
I'm sure if I was running it at 1080 on like medium or low, it probably wouldn't have been an issue on my old machine. But like, I got a 2K monitor.
What kind of asshole runs things on low? Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
just kidding. That was like super privileged.
And I'm not a fucking child, right? I'm not gonna run a 1080 monitor, right? A 24-inch 1080, like $100 fucking monitor,
like a child,
like a child,
like a child,
like an absolute child,
like a baby.
No, yeah. So I'm not going back, right? So, I assume that's a big part of it. But played some Warzone. Warzone ran great. Warzone's kind of a mess, I will say. Like the Battle Pass stuff. Like, because I've been out of it for so long, I'm just like, everything is so different. You know what I mean? Like, it's really got a lot of stuff in there, a ton of operators, which is good. I think if you play that game a lot, like, I'm sure that's part of the fun, but.
Yeah, it's hard to, man, it's definitely, all those games feel like if you don't keep up, it's very hard to.
Yeah, that game back is in. Fucking. Gone places, man.
Yeah,
but it's still great though. It made me want to play just regular multiplayer, but not Black Ops, like Modern Warfare multiplayer.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. Like if I could install that and it didn't take up, you know, 300 gigs to just play the multiplayer, I would totally dive back in. It's just become such a process.
Yeah, Warzone alone was like 90 gigabytes.
Yeah,
90 gigabytes for Warzone, right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, but I played some Warzone. Love me some Warzone.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
People like it.
It's not going to become my main game or anything, but glad it's running good.
Well, it doesn't have glamours, so how could it?
I know, right? I definitely played some 14.
Nice.
I really want to get a tank up to level by the time the expansion comes out. So,
what tank?
I think my paladin's at like 67 right now.
Dude, how is your paladin at 67 and mine hasn't even hit 80 and I've been playing for like 3 years and it's the only class I've played? I don't understand. I must be really bad at leveling.
Yeah, you're really bad at leveling.
I mean, seriously. I mean,
it's because you're not trying to level, right? I think there's a difference between like playing the game and like trying to level.
Yeah.
Like, do you eat all the time?
No, I don't think I've ever eaten. In fact, I have like part of my inventory is like, oh, all these meals sound delicious, but I don't think I've ever eaten ever the entire time I've played.
Every piece of food has a 3% experience buff.
That's not very much though.
It is over the fucking hundreds of hours you've put into that game, right?
True.
If you had, right?
Good point.
So think about it, right? For like every 30 levels, you'd get a free level basically. Every 33 levels, right? So you'd have 2 free levels at this point if you just ate.
Damn. It's like compound interest, you know? Doesn't seem like much, but it adds up.
It's like compound. It's like a Roth IRA, right? Eat your food. Right?
No exactly tax, like that. No, it's true.
No early withdrawal fee.
Yeah, I think all kidding aside, though, that is a good point. It's like one of the things I like about Final Fantasy XIV is you can kind of choose to engage with the systems however you want. And I've chosen a very casual, just hop into the main story, and that's basically, I have done some other stuff, but that's why I haven't hit level 80, and I've been playing for 3 years.
You don't even eat your goddamn food.
She's so...
Eat your food.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten in 500 hours. Please, Leo. Give me
sell your shoes
ramen.
And buy a new pair of the same shoes, right? Just so they're new. Right? She probably hates those goddamn shoes.
Imagine
right
how
now.
Fucked up. Yeah, the soles are just falling apart.
Yeah, she just needs a fresh pair of them. Okay, so do both those things and you'll have a better time.
All right, I'll do that. I promise. I do plan on, now that I have more time, really hopping back into Final Fantasy XIV in a big way. So I'll buy her some new shoes. I promise.
I fucking love it, man. It's so good. It's such a good game. I've been playing a lot of Apex as usual. I'm into arenas, man. It's a lot of fun. It's like the 3v3 mode. It's good. I feel like I'm better at it than I am at Battle Royale, which helps me feel good, you know, and maybe because there's just no ranked, so it's like less intense, but yeah, it's a good game. I love it. I love that 3v3 fight to the death.
Yeah.
And then another old game I've kind of picked up, so Elite Dangerous released their next expansion this week. It's called Odyssey, and it's added like an FPS basically to it. So now you can, so the last expansion, Horizon, allowed you to like land on planets and use like vehicles on the planets, like rovers and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now they added the ability to like get out of your vehicles and shoot guns at aliens.
It's kind of funny hearing you describe this, because I don't play Elite Dangerous, and I'm like, oh, so now it's like a normal game. Like, it actually is a video game now, which I know is not fair. But the way you describe it is like, first you can land on planets, now you can get out of your car.
Well, it is pretty fair, right? Because, you know, I think the way to think about Elite Dangerous really is like what you would assume like a American Truck Simulator is or something, yeah. Right? Like, the initial game was station to station. You're always in a ship. Most of the game is hauling things from station to station, or like combat, or like go kill this thing, right? And you fly to it, you kill it, you fly back, and you say, I did it. And then they give you some credits, and you're always in your like, there's never like.
So it really is like Space Truck Simulator.
It is Space Truck Simulator, right? Cool. But that's what space is. That's what real space was going to be. When really go to space, like, you know, moving is
not going to be fun.
It's not going to be fun. You're not going to be like floating around in the fucking vacuum of space. It's going to be like, who's willing to take this stack of metal to, you know, three suns away? And you're like, I guess I'll do it. Like, you're going to pay me, right? You're like, yeah, all right, I'll go. And I might die.
Yeah, Weyland Yutani is going to be like, hey, it's going to take 9 years to deliver this cargo. Someone's got to do it.
Like, I guess I'll go. I guess I'll go. How are you paying a lot? And they're like, yeah, we'll pay you a lot. So you're like, all right, I'll go. Yeah. And, you know, basically like interact with the economies along the way, right? Because you're doing these long travels and station to station, and all these people fucking need hydrogen, whatever, you know,
food
or whatever fucking thing it is, right? And one guy needs a ride, right? So you're like moving everybody around. So yeah, then I released this new expansion. So I'm like, I'll just jump in and play some Elite Dangerous, right?
Yeah.
I haven't bought the new expansion yet because the reviews are terrible and I don't want to interact with it yet. Like, buggy. Not that it's unfun to play, but so buggy. And so I'm like, I'll give it a couple weeks, you know, like, and I also have been trying to play with a gamepad. I have a HOTAS, a X52.
Yeah.
But I've been like reluctant. Part of my biggest problem with that game is I'm reluctant to have that on my desk all the time, because it's fucking gigantic.
And it kind of feels like a commitment, right?
Yeah, and you look like a fucking dweeb, right? Like,
yeah, God forbid.
I mean,
God forbid your girlfriend's just, like, wait, what are you, some kind of fucking nerd?
Yeah, like, what the fuck is wrong with you, right? Like, who do you think you are? Especially like a. You know, she does nails. Like, if she has a client over it, I'm fucking...
Your gunners on and your headset, and you're just like, can't talk fucking gaming.
My VR goggles on, right? It's
That sounds fun, though. I'm not gonna lie.
People are pretty forgiving of like having a PS4 controller in your hands nowadays, but having the whole fucking HOTAS setup is a bit much. I've been trying with gamepad. It's not as great. It makes me want to use my HOTAS, but it works okay. It's adequate, I think, for certain things. You know, if I was just space trucking and kind of casually watching YouTubes and stuff, I think the gamepad's fine.
Bro, I think you gotta just lean into it and just bust out the HOTAS and like just be yourself, you know?
If I was like mining or like really into combat right now, I would bust the HOTAS out. Yeah. Mining is so hard because you're like trying to like you're trying to like strafe circle these asteroids and like hit really specific points, right? With like charges to like discharge minerals.
Yeah.
And that's really like, that requires every axis available to you, right? To like, to kind of sit suspended and move laterally around these asteroids. But the gamepad's not good for that. But, you know, just loading up cargo and hitting that FSD.
Just space trucking.
Space trucking? I can do that on anything. I could do that with a fucking, I don't know, a Wii controller. I don't know what's goofy. Shake to jump. You know, Wii controller. I should do that.
I could kind of enjoy that. Yeah, actually.
I'm kind of into that, actually.
Who needs a HOTAS when you have a Wiimote?
Who needs a HOTAS when you have a Wiimote? So I've been playing some Elite, and I am actually excited to get the expansion once all this fucking shitstorm kind of settles out. Yeah. Right? I don't know if that means people stop playing it and there's less load and it works better, or they patch it enough that it works. One of those two things is going to happen, and once it does, I'll jump in and give it a shot.
Yeah, that's smart. That's how I feel about a lot of games. Like, it's still Cyberpunk. I'm like, oh, just wait. It's only going to get better. There's no way it's going to get worse.
No rush. There's no rush to get there. I've been playing some Wild Rift on my phone, too. That's the League of Legends mobile game. It's pretty good. It's the best version of League of Legends. That's for sure.
It's better than normal League of Legends.
Yeah, because you can play it while you're taking a poop.
Maybe I should give it a shot. Like, I don't like League, but to be fair, I've only tried it twice or three times. Maybe this, like, maybe in a mobile format, it would make more sense. I'm like, I play it right before bed or whatever, instead of sitting down at my computer, turning it on, and hopping into that toxic cesspool of insanity.
Well, what's fun about it is there's no chat by default. All chat is off by default. You can turn it on.
Sold.
So there's no chat by default, and no one knows what they're doing, but they're all playing ranked. So really, you go into these ranked games, and it's just like oblivious people going in the wrong lanes, like really ruining the game for anybody that knows what's happening, but who cares, right? Yeah, because
that actually sounds a lot better.
right? Like, it's a real shit show, and it's like, sure, why not? Like, you know, like, why not?
It does make me wonder what the, like, permissions are when you install it, right? Is it, like, whatever the equivalent of kernel level, like, rooted access for Android for Riot so they can make sure you don't type any racial slurs.
Yeah, they have to be able to see all your snaps to make sure
you're
snapping derogatory terms.
Please give us access to all sent and incoming messages.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it does some shit like that. You know, Riot.
Yeah.
You know. All right, that's what I've been playing this week, but let's take a quick break because we got a couple of, we did find a couple of news stories to talk about. I know. It's incredible.
Shocking. But stick around.
That's the work we do here. That's the hard work we do here. So stick around, and we'll talk about sea otters. Leo, are sea otters not like the most lovable critter, I think, in the universe, maybe?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think they're like exotic enough that, like, obviously dogs and cats and all the animals we see all the time are extremely adorable. That's why they're around. But sea otters are just exotic enough that you don't see them that, like, you don't see sea otters in the wild usually. At least I don't. But they're so cute. They're just like, it's like weaponized cuteness almost.
Yeah, that and the beaver Pokemon. My girlfriend's been playing Pokemon Snap, and
oh, nice.
I don't really give a shit about any of the Pokemon except for, I don't even know what he is, but he's this little beaver Pokemon, and he's fucking incredible. Like, he is a masterpiece of just lovability. He reminds me of a sea otter.
And sea otters are like real. That's what's so crazy is they kind of look like if a human being were to design the cutest animal, and then they like hold hands and float around, and like if a human were to design the cutest animal, it would likely be an otter.
And can you believe they hold hands, right? I do like that people like to like turn it into like they love each other, so they hold each other's hands. But it's still cutish. Like, I don't believe that is the reason. I don't think they do it for tenderness, but it still is the cutest shit to ever see.
Yeah, right? It's always like, funny, like when you see real animals that are way cuter than a Pokemon, which is a fictional animal. It's like, no, Pokemon are real. They're called animals, and they're awesome.
That's deep.
Yeah, thank you. I've never seen a Pikachu though. I would love if Pikachu is real.
It's just a mouse.
It's not just a mouse. It's a big, fat, awesome lightning mouse that hangs out with Katy Perry.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I mean, we could find I don't know. There's probably a mouse in the vicinity of Katy Perry
that I doubt we could
pretend. I mean, like, just within the inner yard, maybe, or something.
You just spray paint it yellow and put some weird red cheeks on it and throw it at her. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, and he's a detective, right?
Yeah, of course.
So the reason we're talking about otters is because I found this sick otter stream I've been watching.
Oh, nice. Right?
Yeah, it's
on Mixer?
It's on Twitch. It's just these hot sea otters floating around being so cute.
Yeah.
Just so cute. You know where I found them?
On the otter stream? They must have their own, like, searchable field, I would think.
Oh, there is a searchable field. It's pools, hot tubs, and beaches category on Twitch.
Oh.
They've decided that, you know, this content is too hot for just chatting. Okay. it's too good. And now any otter streams, there's ducks. There's also girls, but I go there for the otters.
Yeah, of course.
And
the ducks.
So Twitch... Let's read from this story from The Verge. I'm going to actually read this story because, to be honest, I don't know any details and I'd rather just read.
Yeah, and it's a pretty complicated, like long-running topic. But yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I first heard is last week, and this is not me reading the story. You know who Amaranth is?
I mean, I've certainly heard the name.
So she's like the most popular hot tub streamer, right? She streams like 12 hours a day in a hot tub. Wow. I don't know how her skin deals with it, to be honest with you.
I'm sure she sees the like revenue stream, that's how.
Yeah, I'm sure too. But last week they totally demonetized her channel, right? So I mean that's ad revenue, right? I think she could still receive tips and like subs, but they demonetized any ads on her channel, and I assume it was in preparation for this. So Twitch launches a dedicated hot tubs category after advertiser pushback. This is by Jacob Castronakis on The Verge.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. Twitch is launching a dedicated category for hot tub streams after claiming that it has received pushback from advertisers and viewers about how the trend has taken over the platform. The new pools, hot tubs, and beaches category is meant to let creators stream what they want while also giving Twitch advertisers a more convenient way to prevent ads from running on streams that they don't approve of. Earlier this week, Twitch pulled advertising from some hot tub streams without warning. In a statement sent to The Verge today, the company said that was a mistake. We did not alert impacted creators at the time, and we should have. Creators rely on us. A spokesperson said Twitch said the ads were suspended at advertisers' request and that it is now working with individuals or creators to restore ads where appropriate. It goes on to talk about the Amaranth situation, but that is the meat of it.
Dude, I think that's so inexcusable. Twitch is just like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to suddenly suspend all of your entire source of income because of our like woeful incompetence. Like, this is why we always talk about Twitch in such derisive terms, because they make the most dumbass, boneheaded, ridiculous, like, it's like they're intentionally trying to alienate their creators. It's bizarre. Like, why wouldn't they just be like, hey, we're launching a new channel, so we're going to demonetize you, you know, in 2 days, but immediately you can remonetize on this channel. Like, why wouldn't they just tell people? Yeah. Why?
I mean, I get, like, I agree with you, because it seems like such a simple, easy thing to do.
It's literally an email.
Yeah, to make people not give people fuel to feel victimized or act victimized by Twitch.
It's insane.
Also, though, I know why, you know, they know why they were demonetized. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like,
but this is like supposed to be a mutually beneficial relationship, right? Like, come on. They're both making the product, money from it.
Right? Like, you don't, you know, if you're Ralph's, you don't tell the cereal you're putting it on sale. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And these people are the Rice Krispies of Twitch, right?
Talk about objectification. Oh my gosh.
Amaranth's the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Okay. That's top tier.
I don't want to go. Small box, I'm not comfortable going with this analogy anymore.
Very expensive small box. But I agree with you. It's so simple to just like say, hey, this is why we're doing it. You know, I get it. Backend changes don't always go through the right channels, right? Like, I've seen that happen a lot in, let's just say, different industries where you make changes to, statuses and loyalties and getting that information out to people doesn't always happen at the same time.
But we're talking about like a pretty straightforward, like if you're going to demonetize an entire giant popular group that makes you a bunch of money and makes a bunch of creators a bunch of money, not communicating those changes is such a poor business decision that it's really astonishing. Like, it's just so stupid. There was no benefit to doing that. It's not like it benefited Twitch or anyone else. It just seems like Twitch is run by people who are constantly reacting to like Twitter posts. It's so weird. It's like they're like,
well, to not defend Twitch, I would assume this isn't a reaction to like social media or even like a corporate reaction. I assume what happens is that, advertisers are allowed to kind of dictate, where their ads go.
Yeah.
Right. And I assume someone that controls ads for probably a large group of advertisers on Twitch was just like, not this channel, not this channel, not this channel. And they're like, all right, turn it off. Right. And it was just like that simple. It's probably something they do regularly, right? Is let advertisers be like, no, opt me out of these ones, and they just turn it off.
It was like
right?
A
they don't think
audit
about it
or something.
Yeah, they don't think about it as a time where they're like, all right, we gotta inform these fucking all these people that they're not gonna receive ad revenue on their channels before. It just so happens that this time, the people that the largest advertisers, or maybe advertisers almost as a whole, universally, were like, we don't want to be part of these fucking high profile hot tub streams, right?
For obvious reasons,
this is what we've been saying.
No, totally. This is not new, but that's right. That's why it annoys me even more. It's like, everyone saw this coming. Like, how can you still handle it in such a piss poor way when everyone knew this was coming?
Yeah, I agree with that. Right. And they got to know, like, Twitch has to know through their relationships and conversations with these advertisers that like, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, of course.
This is a touchy subject. At least let people know, like, this mayor, I don't know how long we're going to continue to be able to fund ads on your page.
Yeah.
Right. And that way, when it turns off, they finally pulled the trigger. Yeah. Right. Like,
I think you're right that the creators knew, obviously, like they know what they're doing too. They're part of it. But we're talking about very large sums of money here. This is not like,
I mean, I think in the grand scheme of those creators' income, it probably isn't that large, right?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
I would assume that that donations and subs are the biggest part of their income, not advertiser revenue. I think that's more Twitch's income,
That's a good point.
I think for them, and to be honest, we don't know if these conversations have happened.
Yeah,
right?
We don't know anything.
Like, we don't know if Twitch has told these people previously or months ago or at any time, like, hey, we don't know how long ads are going to be able to, like, be monetized on your channel. You know what I mean? Like, it may go away any day. They may have said that 2 months ago and then turned it off today. And they're like, no one told us. And it's like, well, we talked to you months ago about that.
Or maybe
something
they
like
didn't.
This or maybe they didn't.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I mean. Like,
no, you're like, totally right.
Like, we don't know. Like, I think taking one streamer's word for it as like, is a bit disingenuous. But what did change is they added this channel for pools, hot tubs, and beaches. I like to call it the jerk channel, right? Not because they're jerks.
Why do you call it that?
Because it's only for people that are jerks. No, like this is the masturbation station, right? Like,
oh, see,
finally,
that's a way better name.
Finally, an all-in-one place where you can see all the streams you want to jerk it to
on the
without
internet.
Having to go
through.
You can
finally find sexual content on the internet. It's going to be revolutionary, I think.
Without having to go through the hassle of just chatting. I'm interested how this plays out, or if this satisfies,
so to speak,
It's a well, I mean, yeah, but if it satisfies advertisers, basically, right?
I think I suspect it will.
I suspect it won't.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Because I don't think advertisers' biggest issue, I think one of the issues is they don't want to pay for ads on these specific channels, but I also think they don't want to advertise
on a platform
where porn. Yeah, like, or, you know, close enough, right?
Yeah, that's
like, I think what could accurately be described as sex work if you really wanted to, like, go by the definition, right? And I think creating a channel for it simply highlights, like, I think when it was under Just Chatting, it was like this known secret, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was like defuzzing the cable box, right? Or whatever. Totally. So it's like a Victoria's Secret catalog, right? Like, nah, this is for, you know, moms to buy underwear. And you're like, I guess, you know,
like, sure.
Like
we're all like winking at each other.
Yeah. It was safe enough to have in the bathroom, right? There were plausible excuses, you know, to like let it sit in there.
But it's also like you've been saying, like everyone knew that this was, there was a time limit on this. Like everyone knew that. Everyone, creators knew, Twitch certainly knew, which is why it's irritating that they always pretend like they didn't know. And advertisers, you know, they're not stupid either. They knew. Like this was obviously it was an issue that would have to be addressed in some way.
Yeah, and I don't think putting all the Victoria's Secrets and a roll of paper towels and a bottle of lotion on a separate stand in the bathroom is not
going to satisfy the advertisers.
Is quite as satisfying as they hope. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's fine. I don't know. Maybe they will. Like, I can't say. I think in some ways this will further highlight kind of what that issue is.
Yeah, you know? No, I think you're right. And I think this is a great example of when, like, context and deeper understanding is so important. Because in my mind, I had a very simple take on it. But this... not trying to like toot our own horn at all, but I do think that like just exploring this topic a little bit more has made me think about it very differently, which is very useful. Reading headlines and getting all your information from headlines is not useful, it turns out.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and I do think a lot of the headlines do think this is like the solution, right? Yeah. And yeah, I just don't think so, right? I just don't think there's other places.
It's a Band-Aid, right?
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid, and it's it'll work for a little bit. I think Twitch's hope is these people will move to something that, like, they will try and shift into something that breaks the rules in a different way, or like, you know, kind of doesn't break the rules, but kind of plays with the rules in a different way.
Yeah,
that they can move back into,
that they can monetize with advertisers.
Yeah, yeah, that they can monetize and move back into legitimate channels. And be like, oh, you know, I'm just playing Just Dance in my yoga clothes. This isn't, you know,
yeah,
I'm gaming, it's, or fitness, you know, like whatever.
It's a fitness channel versus
channel, whatever their like new meta becomes to do that. I'm thinking that's what Twitch's idea is that like we'll take the money out of this. They'll kind of stop doing this one thing that's in the news. They'll find new ways to kind of exploit the rules, drive revenue, drive ad revenue, and we'll be fine, you know? And we made like a platitude towards advertisers to be like, look, you know, we're trying to make it work for you, you know?
Yeah, it's just the whole thing seems so silly. It's just like, we're all trying to like, it's like everyone's trying to run a game on advertisers in a way that's really very short-term and very silly. It's like, and also I can't, like advertisers are, a huge group of people and a lot of them are younger than us, and like this idea that everyone's trying to like pull the wool over the eyes on these advertisers is very strange. Like it's like they're just constantly trying to slowly stay ahead of when the hammer comes down from advertisers, as if advertisers don't know what's going on. The whole thing's very weird. It's like everyone's lying to themselves and each other in a way that's very obvious and very irritating.
Yeah, it's funny. When I worked at Newegg, I would take a lot of meetings with like ad sales departments for like radio stations and stuff, right? Because they always wanted to like come in and be like, oh, let me pitch you this thing and we'll advertise on all these radio channels. And it's like, we're not like, these people aren't stupid. Like, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this idea you have that we're somehow going to get rich by being on the radio with our online computer business.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I do feel like there's this idea out there that like, oh, just pitch ads. People will buy them. They're idiots. And they'll just let it run and just give you money.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everyone, all those departments are made of people like you. Like,
yeah.
Made of humans like you who are just as smart as you. It's very weird.
And more so at these, like, larger advertisers, right? Like, you know, just because it's Ford doesn't mean the people working in marketing or ad publications, right, or trade or whatever they call it, like, are idiots, yeah, right?
Well, and but I also think that goes the other way, where it's like, well, advertisers can't claim ignorance either, right? Like, this idea that advertisers are like, hey, what's going on here on Twitch? I don't like this. It's also pretty disingenuous too, you know? Like, everyone knows what's happening.
I think that's why they have to crack down, right? I think for a long time they could, right? They could just feign ignorance and be like, people are watching. Like, we're getting a lot of views on hot tub streams. Like, we do not mind. We do not care. The problem is we get this public perception.
Yeah, the PR people come in.
Yeah, they're like, why are we advertising on fucking jerkbait streams on Twitch?
And then they're like, we are? Oh, that must be Twitch's fault.
Yeah, this is atrocious.
And then Twitch is like, oh, we didn't know either. That must be the content creator's fault. Yeah, it's just so annoying.
So annoying, right? Yeah, it's funny. But, all right, we got one more quick story. This one's going to be real quick because it is like cut and dry, right?
Oh, sweet. Man, I'm glad we get a simple one here at the end.
Yeah, there's no debate in this story. Awesome. Like, it's not political. So this is going to be a real no-brainer. Gaming network IGN staff angry over deleted Palestine charity post.
Oh, boy. This doesn't sound simple at all.
Oh, boy. I took this from The Guardian. I wanted like a non-like gaming outlet take on this.
Yeah, no offense to whoever, you know, covers games at The Guardian.
But. Yeah, no offense. This isn't from their like game. This isn't their like world news section. This is from Alex Hearn and Keza McDonald. I'm going to read some of it. We'll see how far we get.
Okay.
Gaming network IGN is facing a staff revolt after senior management stepped in to delete and apologize for a post linking readers to charities and organizations in Palestine. In an open letter signed by more than 70 of the publication's journalists, staff have condemned the blatant disregard for the most basic standards of journalistic integrity and editorial independence, and called for the site's owners, the U.S. media conglomerate Ziff Davis, to explain who made the decision to remove the charity appeal. On Friday, I gotta stop reading it so fucking sarcastically. On Friday, a post on the gaming website attributed to IGN staff stated that, we want to highlight the humanitarian crisis in Palestine because, while there has been fighting in the region for decades, recent escalations have seen a catastrophic loss of Palestinian lives.
Yes,
the post, which linked to charities such as Doctors Without Borders and United Nations Relief and Work Agency, said that Palestinian civilians are currently suffering in great numbers in Jerusalem, Gaza, and West Bank due to Israeli forces.
Yeah.
The post led to a similar wave of charitable drives from other publications, including Game Informer and GameSpot, but on Sunday it was abruptly deleted with a statement shared to IGN's Twitter feed. Our philanthropic instincts to help those in need was not in line with our intent of trying to show support for all people impacted by tragic events, the statement said. By highlighting only one population, the post mistakenly left the impression that we were politically aligned with one side. That was not our intention, and we sincerely regret the error. The apology angered staff at the publication. We've posted multiple similar charity appeals in the past and received nothing but support from the ownership. Even so-called contentious issues like Black Lives Matter movement, said one staff member who asked to remain anonymous. I have a lot to say about that. There was absolute shock among staff about not just the removal itself, but about how the removal and the explanation for it was handled. They added, for such drastic action to be taken was unusual enough, but for it to be done with no oversight from those who had written the post and multiple hours of silence from those responsible, both internally and externally, was confusing and upsetting for many members of the staff. As part of its apology for the post, IGN said it donated $25,000 to Save the Children to aid those civilians impacted in the area. We continue to look forward to ways to lend our support in productive, helpful ways, the apology concluded.
Wow.
What do you think, Leo?
Well, let's keep it simple.
Yeah, let's keep it simple.
Yeah,
I think this is actually a very simple issue. So, yeah. But I'd like to hear your take.
I mean, there's a lot in there in terms of like if you really want to dive deep into like, you know, there's a lot in there. I think fundamentally though, it's like, hey, IGN, what did the article call it? The Gaming Network.
Gaming Network, which is such
a funny way to describe IGN.
What would you call them?
I don't know. That's a good point. I wouldn't call them a gaming network. I don't have a better term. So I guess, yeah.
Maybe stop talking shit if you don't know a better term. Okay.
I think really what it comes down to is like IGN, with all due respect, I have no beef with IGN. They are what they are. And they're good at their jobs. Yeah, I do too.
I got beef with everybody.
I know you do. But they're IGN. They are IGN and they do what they do well. And there's a lot of people that work there that are great and et cetera, et cetera. That said, IGN, nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit what your thoughts are on anything that isn't to do with like the latest episode of WandaVision. And I don't even say that in a derisive way. Like, you're the go-to for a lot of, you know, stupid shit that myself included really likes. Like you are what you are, and that's okay. But like this idea that you are somehow going to be the voice of reason in this debate, or that your position, your global positioning on this remarkably complex and horrific topic is of any importance outside of like anything really. I don't know. It just feels like this false sense of bravado to be like, we stand with, I mean, if they had said we stand with Israel, I would feel the same way. I'd just be like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, stop.
Yeah, I agree. And to be fair, I don't give a shit what they say about TV shows either, because
yeah, exactly.
That's also not video games, but,
well, they are the gaming network.
Regardless, you know, my issue comes from this, like, even if you're right. Which they, you know,
Yeah.
Even if you're right, like taking a side in this and then having this attitude that like we're infallible, our opinion is the correct opinion. I mean, you know, it doesn't mention in this article, but I think the real issue with this wasn't their call for charity for the region or their call to help people in the region. It was that they flew a Palestinian flag on their website, right? Which is
they clearly chose a side in a very deliberate way.
They flew a Palestinian flag. They mentioned kind of Israeli violence, which I think in some ways is fine, right? Yeah. But I do think that also kind of in corroboration, right? Like, really paints a picture of we chose a side.
Yeah.
That is our motivating force here. Yeah. Right?
And it's a rejection of complexity, right? It's like saying like, hey, we know what's right. We at IGN, the gaming network, know which side is right. And even if they are right.
Yeah, you're wrong. We get it.
Yeah,
you don't. So here's what's up, right? And you know, I think that's a trend right now, right? Which I think is so strange. Like this trend of like, kind of like you said, rejecting complexity and claiming the victory for someone that, you know, these people don't deserve to suffer, but you know. I think championing a side in this is a lose-lose because you're really looking at some despicable fucking people.
Well, and you're just you're rejecting the complexity of like this really complicated topic in favor of like choosing an ideological victory and not forcing yourself to have the conversation about how complicated it is really, because it's trendy, it's lame. We've talked about this many times. It's always lame.
Always lame. And you don't own the fucking magazine, right? Like, yeah. I think the simple issue here, and I think why I said, I think this is actually extremely simple and extremely like kind of apolitical is, hey, editorial staff, like you don't fucking own this magazine. Like you don't get to decide. I used to get into debates with, one of our blog writers at surprisingly Newegg, right? Like on our business.
Was it me?
No, it's actually someone that works there now, but he would always like want to argue, right? Like he would write like, you know, kind of a fluffy article about like, you know, free Wi-Fi in schools or something. Right. And some idiot would comment like fucking socialism or something. And he would want to like clap back. Right.
Yeah.
And I'd constantly have to remind him, like, our job here is to sell computers, not win fights. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like if you want to pick a fight with this guy, go do it somewhere else.
Yeah. Use your Twitter account.
But as it stands right now,
yeah.
Even this guy's an idiot. I want him to buy a fucking computer.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, just shut your mouth and, like, don't fight him. Right. Like that's not what we're doing here. And that's because, like, we have a goal here. We have a job here, right? And it's not to, like, win some debate. It's not
to,
right?
Solve the debate around socialism versus capitalism on the new, right? Egg, like, comments on a blog. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, and I think that's what the editorial staff has forgotten. Like, they think, you know, this idea that somehow if you have an audience that, like, you must use that platform to do the silence is violence, right? Like, if you're not using this platform for the perceived good of mankind, yeah, then you're somehow like in the wrong, ideologically wrong, right? It's childish. Well, right? It's a childish, yeah, thought.
And it's that virtue signaling thing where it's like the only reason they felt comfortable taking that stance is because it is the stance that's popular on the internet right now. And I'm not saying it's wrong at all, but I just mean, like, they certainly wouldn't have done that if they didn't think it would go over well with their audience. You know what I mean? Like, they're not taking a stance because it's important to them to be on the right side of history. They're taking a stance because it's like, hey, this is what everyone feels right now, whether right or wrong. This is what everyone feels right now, and we need to add our voice to this pile, which is, yeah. It's not like they're taking they don't have an unpopular opinion or are taking any kind of risk. I mean, they are, but you know what I mean? Like, there's just this, it's like a further lack of integrity, I guess, by being like, well, it's safe for us to say this, right? Yeah, there's no clapback at all morally.
There's no moral integrity to it, right? Yeah. Like, we've talked about this before. Yeah, we've talked about this before, and this is not to justify, this is not whataboutism I'm about to say, because I think this is all terrible, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we've talked about that region, and, you know, Syria, Yemen, like, there are places where hundreds of thousands of people are dying, and millions potentially are going to die of starvation soon, right? Like,
yeah,
like, within that region, right? Like, not even like, oh, there's other people in the world. Like, there are people of the same ethnic backgrounds in that same,
yeah,
geographical location, right? That are involved in a genocide,
yeah,
right?
A literal genocide, yeah.
A literal actual genocide. And no flags are being flown, right? No calls to action are being made for them, right?
Yeah.
And I understand, like, we are closely related with Israel, and that kind of brings it to the forefront, but we are also complicit in what's happening in Syria, right? And so many other places, right? And it's just like, you know, it's hard not to see that, you know, the underlying reasons why this specific conflict gets highlighted, right?
Yeah.
And it's because trendy. It's trendy, right? And it slaps against a people that we're willing to call demons, yeah, right? In the current climate.
Yeah.
10 years ago,
yeah,
right? We'd be talking shit about Palestine and Syria. We would be like, yeah, you know, those brown guys are bad guys, yeah, right? But, you know, culture's changed. Now, you know what I mean? Like,
but it's always like you got to choose a side, always. That's what's so irritating. It's like,
right?
Like, what if they had just been like, hey, a lot of people are dying in this conflict, so we're donating a bunch of money to Doctors Without Borders, say, which I'm, you know, I don't know any. That's the go-to sort of, like, non-political charity, and I don't know anything, yeah, about them. For all I know, they're a fucking, you know, nightmare. But, like, why didn't they just say, like, hey, there's a lot of suffering happening right now in this region, and we want to add, we're a big company, and we want to give some money to them. So we're giving a bunch of money to an organization that is about furthering peace and helping people that are suffering, and just leave, yeah, your political affiliation out of it. It's just not helpful.
You know, my statement would be children deserve safety.
Yeah.
Right. And children deserve to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
People should. And, yeah. Civilians should not be killed.
And so here's what we want to do to help to make sure,
yeah,
children and their caretakers and the people around them are safe to eat and can live a fulfilling life.
Yeah.
But here's our links. Here's what we think.
Yeah.
Fuck. Right. Yeah. No flags, no nothing. Yeah. It's just like, boom, we want
humans to be better off. Yeah.
we can impact the lives of people that need us to help and to help make an impact, right? Yeah. And instead, it's like, no, like this, you know, it's
got to choose a side.
We know we got to choose a side. We know what's up, you know, like I've been reading Twitter for weeks. I know exactly yeah. what's going on.
A lot
on.
Of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So I know
a lot. Yeah. It's a fucking, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a,
we're just, that is an we're ugly just such situation. Centrists, you know, and that's are, very definitely. Out of fashion right now. So I'm,
we are yeah. definitely, and it is very out of fashion, but you know, like, I agree with those statements, right?
Yeah.
I agree with the general appeal to donate to Doctors Without Borders, right?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I honestly generally agree that what Israel is doing is overblown and gross. You know, like I don't know what the right word for it is, but it's wrong. It's morally wrong.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean I think that a video game website should take sides and claim fucking that they're being silenced by having that taken down by a company that is trying to generate ad revenue.
Well, yeah,
so
and
they can
also,
keep their fucking jobs.
And
right?
I actually have some sympathy for the people who work for IGN, because if you are going to take a political stance and run a flag on your website, I think that is very clearly taking a stance. And I kind of understand yeah. why the people who are underneath that are being like, oh, we're taking a stance. This is very exciting. Like, and then to have it shut down, I could see, like, I'm sympathetic to that. Like, hey, fuck you guys. What, it's really failure of leadership, right? Like, they're the ones who fucked up by doing that in the first place. Because they should have yeah. been like, hey, we all want to help people, whatever. We're a big company. We have a lot of money. We have to take a position on this. And the way to do that is to acknowledge there's human suffering. And we're going to give a bunch of money to to someone who is going to help alleviate suffering regardless.
And you don't get to choose, right? Like, I think that's what's fucked up. Like, yeah. like you said, being sympathetic to the people below, like you don't get to decide,
yeah.
you know, when that runs, like they're not like, hey, everyone in the office,
yeah.
do you
what
all,
do you think? Yeah, it's
do you
not
all
a, yeah.
secretly buy in that we're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you are, you know, what are you going to do? Like I saw a lot of people looking at that open letter and picking out people on that staff that didn't sign it, being like, hey, at where you at?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
so
what
gross.
I mean,
that's so
and it's
gross.
Like, and it's like, what, I didn't get involved in any of this, right? I wanted to do my job and like write about fucking video games, and I think that's where it's a leadership failure, like you said, right? Because you're putting your employees in this position
yeah.
of like, you've got to take a side, you've got to take our side. There's no other side to take. And if you're unwilling to like put your name on the line and fight for the side you never wanted to take in the first place,
yeah.
now you're like a pariah. You're like this this evil outsider.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're not part of the team, right?
Yeah.
And it's like what the fuck, like how do you think that open letter is a good idea? After the first mistake, right? Like why do you think listing the names of here's the names of the morally responsible people at IGN,
yeah.
right? If they're not listed here.
Their addresses of the people who didn't sign it.
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging violence, just saying.
They're the fucking bad guys. They're part yeah. of the problem. You know what yeah. I mean? And yeah, it's fucked up. It's a fucked up thing for senior editorial staff to do. Right?
That's what it comes down to. It really is. Yeah. Like they made a huge mistake. And then the fact that they, like, I don't know, I'd almost respect them more if they were just like, no, fuck it, we're doing it. Like, here's a link to Hamas. Like, if they were like, no, we this is what we're doing as a corporation, is we are, or what
IGN is doing.
We want
Hamas to destroy the state of Israel.
Yeah, like
and
that,
so
honestly, at least
it, right?
they'd be like consistent. I'd be like, damn, that's a very strong yeah. position to take. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, they've only
it,
fired
but
4,000 rockets so far. Can we double it?
Yeah,
donate
we're donating
here,
straight
right?
to the rocket fund. Like,
yeah.
at least that would be morally consistent. But this very, and we've talked about this a lot, this very like gross, it's what Ubisoft does, where they're like, we're going to dip our toe into this extraordinarily, you know, extraordinarily complex, hot like topic, and just dip our toe in just enough to like make sure that people think we're cool on the trendy side, and then immediately get out. It's just so grotesque. It's
and,
like,
and
dude.
just enough to put our staff in danger.
Yeah, right? Yeah, just enough to put our staff in an extraordinarily uncomfortable position that they should not have to be in. Exactly. So lame.
Yeah, and it really highlights how like out of touch, like gaming personalities and pundits yeah. are, right? When you see them like fuck yeah IGN, you rock, and it's like, all right, like, I guess, you know what I mean?
Yeah, IGN, like, that's what it keeps coming down to. It's like the most milquetoast, like...
The gaming network, IGN.
The gaming network, IGN, yeah, I don't know.
And, you know, because no one wants to think, right? No one wants to think about, like, the consequences of this, how it's going to affect people they know personally, how it's going to affect people that work at the, you know, like, they're all just like, fuck yeah, this fucking get them, you know? Like, yeah. It's fucking crazy. Like, it's some of the dumbest shit I've seen
in a while.
Like, Kotaku's done a lot of dumb shit that I've seen, and they didn't put a Palestinian flag on their site.
And at least, you know, even if Kotaku, like, did it, I think they would be more.
Yeah, at least,
like,
hey,
we've chosen our side, like, which I kind of respect, whether I agree with them or not. It's like, well, they're making their position known, but this, like, gross.
And
like,
even they wouldn't do it, right? Even exactly. They didn't do it, right? Like, yeah. That's how you know you fucked up. Because, like, yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's I do think, though, to sum it all up, it really does come down to a failure of leadership and a really pretty catastrophic, failure of leadership, really. I keep coming back to that term.
If there's one thing I know about senior management, they don't want to get involved in your shitty website, and making them do it is your failure, not theirs.
Yeah. They're like, dude, right? Really?
Yeah, like, really, you're making
come up in here and hire a lawyer and a PR guy to write this statement because you dumbasses did not think this through.
Yeah, you're making us get our conference calls on Saturday to deal with this fucking dumb.
I'm trying
dumb
to play
shit.
Golf. God damn it.
Yeah. I'm in the fucking Poconos right now. You think this is what I want to do? You think this is what I want to do? Yeah, it's fucking childish. I think it's just childish. It shows that the staff there is not mature enough kind of to deal with that, I don't know, level of exposure. But. All right, that's all the news for today. Leo, is there anything else you want to jump into before we get out of here?
No, I'm just glad we could end on a really simple, straightforward, you know, really nice, clean topic. So thanks.
People are gonna love it. Yeah. That's why I can tell
no,
you that.
No strong opinions. I would actually be curious. Like, I'm not interested in people's political opinions on this topic, but I am curious about people's opinions on IGN's handling of this, just because it was such a interesting microcosm and such a catastrophic failure on so many levels. Yeah, it was very interesting.
I cannot wait to make the title for this episode.
Oh God, no!
I cannot wait. I don't know what it's going to be.
I'm really upset just by thinking about it. It's not going to be good.
There's a lot of room
there's
for some
SEO,
fucking,
some SEO for some magic SEO you can do. This,
right? Yeah, there's a lot of room. All right, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you listening. If you made it this far, if not, I understand.
Totally,
you didn't hear this anyways. We love you. We appreciate you. Tech Yeah Podcast, Gmail, Facebook, Twitter. You know where to go. Yeah. Thank you guys. We love you, and go play some games.